Hey, podcast, thanks so much for listening. This episode is awesome. It was a conversation that we had at the Data Driven Summit. So if you hear noise in the background, we apologize. John and I had one microphone and we clipped it onto Stephanie Fox because we watched a presentation that she had just given on some data that came back on 20,000 different salon professionals and students that she had surveyed. And the data was around recruitment, what stylists are looking for, what salons should be doing, how should they be finding stylists and positioning their businesses. I think no matter what stage you are in your career, you're going to find this very insightful, as we did as well. So great conversation here. Hey, salon owners, you're running out of time. If you're interested in growing your business exponentially in 2022, oh my God, it's 2022. Just a couple more weeks left to sign up for the 4-day intensive, which happens November 7th and 8th. And then the next weekend after that, I think it's the 14th and 15th. We do it over 2 weekends. And you're also running out of time. We got a couple spaces left, maybe, for the pricing overhaul. So if you guys have been like putting off doing anything with your pricing because you're just too afraid, you're not really sure what to do or how to approach it, please let us help you with that. That's something that can add thousands of dollars to not only your bottom line, but into your stylist pockets in 2022. This is a very, very important conversation. And what we do is we walk you through it in a 6-week period from start to looking at your pricing now to leveling out your stylists and helping make sure they're in the right pricing structure all the way to launch. And we'll help your team launch it together. So don't do that alone. It's a really big deal. Let us help you with that. So anyway, you can message us on Instagram at 124.go or email us at info@124go.com. That expires, I think, as soon as we fill up 5. So that's going to run out like here in a second. Anyway, love this episode. I know you all are going to enjoy it. Have a great week.
Here's what I think we need to do better with recruiting is help stylists understand we're not all created equal. We all have our own vibe in there. You know, and they get that conceptually, but they have no idea how to vet it. And we haven't done anything to help them do that. You know, because yes, we all do great education. We all do these things the same, right? It's like telling a hairdresser or a consumer, like, oh yeah, we're the best blonde specialists. And really? Like, there's a lot of blonde specialists here. I'm Stephanie Fox. I own Talent Match, and we are a team building and recruiting agency in the beauty space. And then I also own Matchable, which is a technology that's going to be launched in January to help salons recruit staff. Yeah.
And you're also you just sold a salon.
I did. Yeah, I'm coming up on a year.
Because when we met, you were a salon owner, and it did not look at all like selling the salon
No.
in your cards.
No. So had the salon for 9 years. And great, we were in great shape, top 200 for every year we could be once we passed the whole whatever 2-year mark before we can do that. And I've always, like, Talent Match has been a brand I've had for 8 years. And we did a lot of private consulting and education and stuff. And I was just in this place where it was like, okay, what's my next path? I have all this research that's come back. My 2020 survey was massive.
How did you do this research?
Oh my gosh.
That's interesting.
The schools just helped me. So Paul Mitchell and Aveda both got behind sending it out to previous graduates and current students. And my gosh.
And the questions that you asked were as simple as what you just shared.
Yep.
Kind of like share some of the questions.
Yeah. So, you know, essentially I wanted to know all things around how do you find a job? Why do you pick a job? Why would you leave a job? What's most important to you? What's your stance on booth rent? You know, what's your stance on why you want to work for yourself? This year's survey had some questions, of course, around how COVID impacted their preferences, what they thought it meant for the industry and things like that. So
how many respondents did you get?
20,000.
20,000.
Yep.
Wow. So a huge group.
Huge group.
Yep.
Which is why, so you asked like why the salon sale.
Yeah.
So a buyer reached out to me via email.
Yeah.
Are you interested in selling? And it was like, okay, apparently I'm being directed in some way because I just got this massive survey back. I love data, always have. Usually have conducted surveys that have been more in the like 200 to 300, maybe 350 mark.
Sure.
Just got this massive amount of data. I need to do something with this.
Yeah.
I have 2 little kids. I'm like, I cannot run 3 businesses. I knew what I wanted to do was take the data and build an algorithm and a technology that would take the heavy lift out of figuring out the culture fit and the growth opportunities, because we suck at that, right? Every industry, it's just hard to figure out in an interview process. I wanted to automate that. So when that email came through and I was like, we're going to investigate this, it was the fastest turnaround. She wanted to close in 2 weeks.
Wow.
It was a cash deal.
Yeah.
Took 3 weeks. Her attorney was horrible. But still, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Suddenly it was like, oh my gosh, I don't own a salon anymore. Cash and done.
Yeah.
And it gave me the opportunity to take this work and start working on a bigger solution.
Yeah. That's awesome. Great story.
Totally not relevant to this podcast, but how did your team take it?
Oh, it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. You know what, though? The best compliment that I've ever gotten in my life, one of the girls who started with me, so she was with me for 9 years, she's crying, of course, and I'm crying, and she looks at me and she said, you know, Steph, I would have been more sad if you would have told me you were moving, because then I couldn't see you anymore. And I was like, okay. So they got it. You know, they know the work I'm working on. They've always known the work I work on outside of my salon. And they're highly supportive. And I still see most of them to this day.
I was watching through your slide presentation, and some of the things that came up, we've seen before, right?
Yeah.
Leadership, I think, was second.
Yeah.
Right? Culture, was that one?
Culture is the number one reason they say they pick you.
Right.
Yeah.
So culture, leadership.
Growth.
Down the list was compensation.
Yeah.
Right? I think it was like fourth or fifth.
Yep.
Right? But I want to touch base on those, because I think those are always the things that people get stuck on. So when we say culture, people say, I have a good culture. It's nice to work here. But I don't think they get it.
No.
What are they missing?
First of all, they're missing that they have no narrative around that culture. It's things like, it's a nice culture. We're an amazing team. We're so great.
Right.
And there's nothing specialized, custom, what I again call magic around it. Like. They use the I want a team that feels like a family. Every family is different. So who is your family? Like, are you the kind of family that's really fun and loud and like likes to have dance parties? Are you the family that's super hardworking and you hustle and you get it done and you're more serious? Like, which family are you? Because different people want a different family. And that's where really just storytelling. You know, we've got to go in and not have the owner telling the story, but actually survey and get the language from the staff as a cohort and be able to then put that into a narrative that we put out.
Second, leadership, you know, and I think people think bad leadership, and I'll use that to make it simple, is the boss is just a jerk, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to work for them. Oh, I'm not a jerk. I'm a nice guy, or I'm a nice gal. But obviously, it's more than that.
Well, what it is, 91% of them say, I want my leader to be my friend and give me professional feedback. Yeah. So when you dive into the friend and you ask, well, what does that actually mean? Because a lot of owners today immediately barrier up and they say, no, I don't want to be their friend. I'm their boss. I don't want to have drinks with them. I don't
want
to, like,
they go the opposite direction.
Too friendly, right? Yeah. So what they actually are saying is, I want to have a relationship with this person that says, I trust you. There's respect between us. We can communicate. So what I tell leaders is, if you're going in the numbers route before you've built the relationship,
the rapport building.
You have no relationship. They don't want the feedback at that point, and then that leadership layer crumbles. So really, when they're telling us, I want a great leader, they want to know that somebody's going to help them grow, right? Somebody's got their back. Somebody cares about them. Like, again, think of that family piece. It's like, tough love happens in families. They're saying, give me the tough love, like, give me the feedback, but don't let it precede me knowing you actually care and that it's not just about your bottom line.
Well, you need to get to know me as a person.
Exactly. Right?
So as far as actions, though, because that's, you know, I can see the fine line there, especially in salons, just because simply there's a closeness that happens in salons. There's a socialness. You know, what are some actions that cross the line of that barrier? You know, like
dating them.
Besides dating.
I would say that's a big one.
That's a good one.
Sometimes that works out for people. Yeah, though, I mean,
it does. You know, but besides dating, you know what I mean? Like, because there is like a, you know, they are trying to get close to them, and at the same time, not too close.
So I look at this, I think the respect piece is where this comes into play. I think this is different for every single team. I'll give an example. For my Christmas parties, I had just a team of women, right? I would rent an Airbnb. We would make a bunch of food, go hang out and drink and play games and eat and stay the night. I walk out into the back patio and they're like, everybody gets like this, real, real like buttoned up, and they're like, they're smoking, not cigarettes. And they're like, oh, deer in headlights.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you guys hiding from me? I could care less that you're doing that. Like, we're just having a party. Like, and they're like, do you want some? And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Because what I didn't want to have happen was it diminish the respect level?
Sure.
Like, there's a certain boundary. It's like a parent-child kind of thing. Like, right. you know, for me, I would never want to do something with my kids that I thought they maybe should just keep with their friends.
Right.
Another owner might think that's totally fine. But I think in general, you have to understand your team and the boundaries of respect. Because if you lose respect for each other, then you don't have the relationship to cultivate the growth and the trust that they need. So I really think it's just unique to each business.
I like that. It's like, it's okay to know that you guys are doing these things, but I don't have to participate with you. We talk about that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can feel like your friend in that way. You guys can come in and be goofy, and I'm like, okay, I know what you're up to out there, but I didn't have to go out there and do it with you, you know.
Fourth or fifth on the list, compensation.
Yeah.
You know, I think one of the challenges is everybody's trying to figure out what that magic formula is, right? How much commission do I give? How much commission do I not give because I can't fiscally afford it?
Yep.
It puts my company in jeopardy. And so I don't know. I end up giving away too much. My business doesn't grow. So let's talk about that a little bit. When you say compensation, are you talking about I'm getting 50%, 60%, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot more to it. There's a lot of leaky spots in salon financials, right?
Sure.
So I think that as an industry, we need to have a deeper look at where we're leaking money so that first we can make sure we pay ourselves a profit out of our businesses because we're doing all this work and typically not doing that. And then have the ability to look at the relationships that we have with our team, that they feel cared for, that they're growing, that they're making good money, right? Which means it might be about our marketing funnel that is driving the compensation. Like, I think it's not as black and white as saying, oh, they have to earn 50%.
Right.
There is some research in that study that shares like what they think they should make. And I can say that the kind of baseline that they want to be at is 40. When they're coming out of school, they think they should be around 40.
Yeah.
Yep. But Jen, Bella, who I was just sharing, so they are an hourly team. And
I saw the team-based pay thing.
Yep.
Piece.
Yeah. So she is a team-based pay business. On her P&L, the way that breaks down, her payroll runs about 35%. So her team, like lots of them, are over six figures. Her prices are right? She charges a lot of money, and that's I think our biggest opportunity in the industry to get the comp levels where they need to be.
Right.
We got to charge more, and then things would not be so upside down, you know. And until we do that. I was telling Leon Alexander, I said, I wish we could have a big industry event, like all of us, like, you know, the tens and all the thousands of, and just decide, here's how we fix our pricing structure, and we're gonna all go out on Monday, and we changed it, right? So it doesn't matter what salon you're going to.
Who is it, Jay Williams is the one we're talking to? I'm not sure if it was Jay, well, we'll give him credit for this minute until you correct me. He said they did some kind of survey, you know, 10 years ago, what the average haircut price was, and it was like $50, right, nationwide. And then they did one 10 years later, just recently, and did it again, and it was like $55. You know, so in a span of 10 years, we've gone from an average haircut of $50.
Oh, gosh.
It was more like 20 years. It was
it was
it should be far and above, you know, the change. And even when he does retail numbers and talks about, you know, 8%, it was 6% in the 70s and it's 8% now, and that's probably
but adjusted for
because
inflation,
price raises.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like the work that's being done in the industry right now to try to elevate the perception of the industry, and we've really come far even in just the last 10 years.
Right.
I think that the more that changes and the more the entrants to our industry believe that this was the right career choice from the get-go, they don't have that self-doubt, they don't have that narrative. I mean, my own mother literally said to me, Stephanie, you're wasting your brain. When I told her I was going to go to cosmetology school.
My mother cried.
Yeah.
So
like when that changes and the confidence level of the people entering the industry, they're so proud to be entering it. That's when they're going to not be afraid 5 years in to make a price change. Like, you know, whereas now an owner's 5 years into their business, they haven't raised the prices once.
Oh, try 10 or 15 years and try 20 years behind the chair and you put them in a situation where they have the opportunity for that and they don't want to take the promotion.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible.
And the stylist too.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember the stylist I was saying had the, like, I would miss you more if you were moving.
Yeah.
The first time we were going to do a price increase on her, you know, she'd been with me probably for about 8 months.
Yeah.
She's like, Steph, I'm scared. She had worked in another salon for probably 3 years before that and moved from Cleveland to Columbus. And I'm like, what are you scared of? You know, and I had to actually show her, like, it's fine if you lose this percentage because this is coming up, you know? And then we just moved through it. And it was not a big deal and it was great.
Right.
But if you don't push them,
yeah.
and if no one's pushing you, if you're the owner,
right.
it's awful. So I think that will the confidence of people entering our industry is the only way our prices are going to get where they need to be.
And I think there's a lot of people talking the same language on pricing. I mean, you know, whether it's you right now, us, Nina, Jason, Everett, you know.
Yeah, Pip, all of them, Roni, everybody, you're right. There's a lot of people.
We're all talking about pricing, and we're giving them the actual strategy to do it.
Yes.
Like the numbers to do it. And, that, you know, it's better than saying, because we don't necessarily love the charge what you're worth narrative.
Yeah.
Because we know that there is some math around
yes.
it, right? It's like, and what are you worth? Well, you're worth a lot. You're a
yeah.
human being, right? But what are you worth in the market
yep.
is a little bit different based on, you know, have you built demand? You know, are you retaining people?
Yeah.
You know, like, so there's some stuff with that, but I think people are, more and more people are talking about that in a real similar fashion.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't need to be all the same for
yeah.
sure.
I mean, I look at that and I'm like, let's take all the expenses inside of our business and let's add them up, right? And let's add in what profit would look like if we earned 10% of revenue. Let's get all that added up. And let's divide by the number of hours we have available in our business. And if we're not making that at least coming in every hour, divided by however many stylists, we're not making enough money.
Well, that's it.
Like, that right. simple. There's your pricing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not really that simple, but
well,
you know what I mean.
It is really that simple.
The challenge is that, you know, having that conversation
brain.
Just doesn't
yes.
have it, right?
Yeah. Tell us more about, I mean, you just gave some interesting stuff. Give us some bullets of what you just shared, what, you know, why you chose those things. And,
sure.
Like, what's your message right now?
Yeah, the biggest message I have for people is they need to get into their online space and find all the gaps around how people
okay, how
wouldn't
does somebody
understand
do
them.
This?
Yeah, there's a few ways you can do it. One is you could just say, what are all the places people go online to find out more about a brand, you know? And you could website, Instagram, Google reviews, you know? And you could go onto those places and you could ask yourself, if I wanted to work at this salon, does this website tell me who they are? Is it easy, right? Was it easy to get there? And can I get to them? Can I get connected really easily, right? If there's any barrier of ease in any of that, they're out, okay? So they could just pick those couple of places and go on and find the gaps, you know? And it, the gaps are around the ease. Another way is the audit that I offer, right? I've had my development team build a free audit that just gets you in the mindset of all the places you need to be looking, which is available on my Instagram, Steph_Fox. Yep, Steph with an F, STEF_Fox. And then my website, which is talentmatch.biz. And then I obviously do private work too. So I work with teams who say, I don't want to do any of this by myself. Can you audit my business?
Can you do it for me,
please? Yeah, and then I do a report of findings and, you know, share, like, here's the places we need to go in and do some work.
How do people, you know, you kind of talked about that, like, those basic things. One of the most common places that they need to start first look to me like Instagram.
100%.
Right? I know that for a lot of owners, I mean, here's the facts. Individuals do a better job with Instagram than businesses.
Yes.
Right? Where do they start? You talked about Reels. You shared some, you know, I thought some beautiful examples. Like, how does somebody start in that work?
The best place to start is an internal team member. You know, the beautiful thing about the people we hire is they're all on Instagram. They know how to use it. Somebody loves it. Somebody's a pro. They all want growth opportunities. They all want to earn more money. This is the perfect opportunity to pull that person in, get them extra training, right? Pay for the education they need. Hire them as your person handling your social, whether it's your, doesn't have to be a consumer social necessarily, but, you know, from a recruitment perspective, they're telling the story of the team. They're with the team. They're part of the team. They're in the back taking pictures. Like, they're there to capture the content. So that's where I recommend teams start, is have a dedicated person and just make sure you provide them all the training. It's out there. There's free training on how to use every social tool.
Right.
So you really don't even have to pay for it, but you also could find great paid trainings too to support them.
Right. You know, some of those metrics that you talked about, how to affect change in them. And I think the bigger piece is that change in mindset.
Yeah.
You know, that this is a different way of doing things. And you brought this up. You can continue to do it in the same way you did it before, right? Nothing happens, right? When are you going to start thinking different?
And the biggest pain I feel for salon owners, honestly, is that they come to me and they're like, I need to hire, you know, I need to hire. And I'm like, that's great, and we can work together, but you're probably not hiring tomorrow just because we started working together.
Right.
Because when you built your website, and you did all your SEO, and you got your blogs going, and you know, you made it all perfect for Google to love you.
Yep.
It still took 6 to 9 months to be an organic search and for everybody to find you.
Right.
So building a strategy around an online presence is not an immediate result, you know, which is why I tell brands, you need 6 to 9 months of consistency in the schools, on it, all the places, right? And now you have a pattern and you're following it, and now your pipeline is never dry. There are people all the time,
sure,
more than you need,
yep,
honestly. Yep. And the mindset around like panic, like post and pray, I call it, like, I gotta hire right now. And I'm like, well, good, then go post your Indeed job and pray that somebody shows up, and let's get to work on the real stuff so that this is not your reality in 3 months and in 6 months.
Yeah.
Right.
Here's what I think we need to do better with recruiting is help stylists understand we're not all created equal. We all have our own vibe in there. You know, and they get that conceptually, but they have no idea how to vet it. And we haven't done anything to help them do that. You know, because yes, we all do great education. We all do these things the same, right? It's like telling a hairdresser or a consumer, like, oh yeah, we're the best blonde specialists. And really? Like, there's a lot of blonde specialists here.
One last question was on scheduling, because it's such a big thing, and it was number one on the list.
Number one.
You know, obviously, I mean, we've had to visit flexibility, and certainly at Salon 124, I mean, you know, much more flexible this year than probably they've ever been, or ever had to be. But that's still continuing. We've heard some really interesting concepts here this week, based on your particular, you know, kind of research around it. What are you seeing that you feel like's working? Or,
well, I think if we go out of beauty and we look at the realities of what they see, right, what our workforce sees, they see a lot of on-demand opportunities, this idea of like work when you want to work, don't when you don't want to, work from home, kind of start at 9 today, 12 tomorrow, like, and so that's what we're up against, right, is that idea and what they perceive that feeling to be of having that level of flexibility. The vacation piece is a big issue in our industry, where there's not a lot of paid time off, and so they don't take it, or they do and the owner's stressed. Like, we've got to get to the place where schedule, which includes the ability to take time off, feels like my life is more important than my work, right? Like, because that's how they feel. And that I can have a great career and have a great schedule and have a great life, that it's not, I'm not being told this is the only option you have for your schedule, right? Work these 3 10s and these 4 12s, and like, that doesn't work anymore, you know? So I see a team that I work with that I love their schedule. They have it set up that every 3 weeks, there's 5 days in a row off. And so you can imagine, and her team has paid time off. So if they want a vacation, they bracket onto those 5 days, then they take 2 days off work.
Wow.
It's amazing. Yeah. And her team's making over $100,000 a year, most of them each, right? So like the way they've, because their pricing's right, they're busy, they're happy, right? So we've got to get there where it's not an aneurysm to ask for time off, right? It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it's like, okay, we can work a schedule that fits my life, and you can work your business to accommodate the hours that I can't work, right? We put all that pressure on the team member.
Right.
Like, oh no, we have to fill the chair from 9 to 3. So like, if you don't work this, you're not working here.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta stop that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. That's awesome. We have hair school students on up. Any last words?
Gosh. Yeah, I would say if you're in the student space, do your diligence, because success in this industry lives with you finding the right place to get your first job. Really, like, find the people, ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask everything to understand if a team is a good fit, because you are interviewing that business as much as they're interviewing you. And for the stylist, I would just say, you know, be a voice for yourself, give feedback to your owners, and help with the transitions that have to come, right? We can grow in pain together and we're gonna be fine. Like, you know, we don't have to like, gosh, and owners, like, start auditing yourself, so that you can pick at least one of those places to start changing what you're doing, because otherwise you have a lot more pain ahead.
I like the program, because I think it just set up kind of like a roadmap for people to start working on. Right.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
That was so fun. Love it. Yeah.